morning there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then, when they heard one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works." Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head nor tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joked, "They're drunk on cheap wine."
Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we just thank you so much for this time we have to be in your presence. We pray that you will open our hearts, open our minds, and open our spirits, that we might be touched by your Spirit, moving in us and among us and through us. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when you think of the Holy Spirit, what do you think of? Anybody come up with anything?
Power.
What else?
Tongues of fire.
Wind? Sorry? Doubt. Dove. Okay. I'm okay with either of those answers. Dove? Joy? Teacher? Comforter? Everywhere. What else? You're doing well. Jiminy Cricket, like the conscious inside of you. Yeah. Anything else? I put this on my Facebook page, complete this sentence. and I got a couple of responses, some that were very surprising, and most of them were nature, mountains. One said, "My family, my kids, my view from my front porch." I like that one a lot. One said, "The one inside," and just feeling that fullness of the Holy Spirit. Today is a day that we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, and really every Sunday should be a day that we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit, but we have trouble getting a handle on the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus, we know what Jesus looks like, right? At least we have an image in our minds. Bearded guy, long hair, we got that one. And God, we have an image of, and no matter what that image might be and how incomplete that image is, we have a person, or at least a personification that we understand. And then we get to Holy Spirit. I don't know how to talk to a spirit. I don't know how to understand or comprehend or wrap my mind around that Holy Spirit idea. Do we pray to the Spirit? Oftentimes, I know I don't. I pray to God or Jesus. I don't find myself often praying and addressing the Holy Spirit. Now, all are one and the same in most ways, but it's just hard to wrap our heads around the Spirit. I like that everywhere. The Spirit is just God's presence in our lives every day. As I like many of the answers that you gave, that it's just every ordinary common stuff can become Spirit-filled. And Jesus taught us that time and time again when he took really normal, ordinary dirt and spit in it and healed somebody with it. Or he took really ordinary water and baptized someone with it, and it was a big occurrence in their lives. Or he took an ordinary loaf of bread and an ordinary glass of wine and said, "This is my body and this is my blood given for you." Ordinary stuff infused with the Holy Spirit becomes extraordinary. Pentecost Sunday is a mix of things. Pentecost is a really ordinary word. It's not a holy word. If you look up Pentecost and you want to learn the meaning behind it, it just means 50. It's the 50th day. Pentecost was the 50th day after Passover. And it was, in the biblical times, a celebration of harvest time, of first fruits. This was the time when the first grains were brought in and they were sacrificed to God. They were given to God in celebration of the fact that God had given them this great harvest. And if you stick with the Old Testament, that's as far as you get for this holiday called the Feast of Weeks, or I don't know Hebrew well, but it's Shavuot, I think. I don't have the right accent, but it's Shavuot is the Hebrew word for this Feast of Weeks. What we find is in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, when the canon of the Old Testament was closed, and before Jesus arrived on the scene, there was this understanding that came about that 50 days after Passover was the day when Moses received the Ten Commandments. And so this was a big holiday. Shavuot in the Hebrew tradition is the day that God, the anniversary of the day that God claimed the Israelites by giving them the Ten Commandments. Now, oftentimes when we think of the Ten Commandments, we think of the no-nos, you know. Ten Commandments are all the things you should not do, all the rules and regulations. And oftentimes when we read the New Testament, we hear the Apostle Paul saying, you can't live by the law. And so we think that the law, the Ten Commandments were, oh, they're just there to make us feel guilty about all the stuff we can't do. God asks us to do these things, and we're constantly falling short. And so we wonder about what the Ten Commandments are about. Well, to the Israelites, this wasn't a list of no-nos. This wasn't a list of rules and regulations. This was God claiming God's people for himself. This was God saying to a group of people who were no people. The Israelites had just 50 days before been slaves in Egypt. They were a band, a motley crew of just families. They had no land. They had no real leader. Moses had just shown up on the scene not that long ago. This was not a nation. This was not a country. And God takes them out in the wilderness and in a land that nobody owns and says, we're going to build covenant. You and me. And you will be my people. And if you want to be my people, here's how you live. And that's what the Ten Commandments were. They weren't a list of like, oh no, make me feel bad things. They were like, if you want to be God's people, this is how you do it. It was God's instruction manual of how to be in covenant with him, how to live the life that he was calling them to lead. And so Pentecost, can you imagine on that first Pentecost Sunday, those Jewish people that were gathered in that place on that day, they just lost their leader for the second time. Think about that. Jesus was crucified and their hope was dashed. They were devastated. Then he's resurrected 3 days later and we're good, right? Things are going really well and everybody's excited again. And then 40 days later, he's gone again. He ascended into heaven and you have this leaderless group just kind of not knowing what to do with themselves. And Jesus has told them that just before he ascends, he tells them, wait here in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And so they're in temple. They're in Jerusalem, and they're having their own little worship time, I assume, on Pentecost. And what text are they reading? They're reading Exodus 19 and 20, when God is giving the Israelites the Ten Commandments. And how does God come? Mount Sinai is covered in smoke because God arrives in fire. And there's a part of my imagination that says as they got to that line, the Holy Spirit showed up in tongues of fire. God showed up in a very real and powerful, powerful way. And like the Israelites were claimed, like the Israelites were becoming a people, God sent his Holy Spirit on this people and said, you're my people. As the Spirit indwells in you, I'm claiming you. You're mine. This, again, motley crew of people who were not the socially acceptable. Think of the people that Jesus attracted as followers. Fishermen. Just working people, not scholarly people, not religious people. He tax collectors were attracted to him. Women with bad reputations were attracted to him. Who was gathered in that place that day? Nobody by their own stature would have been respected by the people around them. But that's who God chose to claim that day. That's who God chose to send his Holy Spirit upon. He claimed that crew as his own. But he didn't just claim them to claim them, just so they could have the Holy Spirit for themselves. They were claimed and called. Do you remember in Genesis when God is speaking to Abraham? In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, he says this to Abraham. He says, I'll make you a great nation and I'll bless you. I'll make you famous and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I'll curse. And listen to this line. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. God didn't just claim the people on Mount Sinai for the sake of claiming people, but so that they could be the ones to share God with the rest of the world. And on Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, was he just coming to say, I'm making you feel good? He was claiming his people and calling them to share this good news with the rest of the world. Jesus in Acts chapter 1 verse 7 tells the disciples this, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the world. And what's the first gift that the disciples are given? The ability to be understood by everybody around. The ability to communicate in a language that everybody around them could understand. And they could hear the gospel in a way that was relevant to them. For me, this is the verse. This is the story that explains why we do what we do in contemporary worship. I hate that phrase. But in contemporary worship. Because our goal is not just to do things that are cool and new and different. Our goal is to speak the gospel in a language that people understand. Our goal is to share the gospel in a way that others who are not connected to the church can grasp. We're all speaking English, but at times we need a different means to get that message across. And sometimes we expect people to come to us and learn our language. And boy, that's not what happened on Pentecost Sunday. What happened was the disciples were given the gift of being able to speak in a language that people already understood. And that's the goal. That's the goal of what we do. What does it look like today to speak in the language that the people around us understand? Robert Schuller opened a church in a drive-in movie theater in the 1950s. And his denomination almost disowned him because it was nuts. It's one of the biggest churches in the country today. Rob Bell in Grand Rapids, Michigan in 1999 opened a church in an abandoned mall. And that place is packed out for two services on Sundays today. It might mean using music that didn't used to be in church. It might mean sharing the gospel in Facebook and Twitter. Like I said, I put a Facebook line up there and asked people to respond. And I got responses from members of our congregation. And I got a response from a guy who was my brother's friend in high school. I thought, how cool is that? Sharing in just real and different ways. It might mean saying the Lord's Prayer as a text message. I want to show this to you up there. I'm not going to try and read it, but take a look at it yourself. And it's 100, I checked it out, it's 159 characters. It would be one text message. This guy won a contest. Yeah, it counts as one text message. My favorite part is the end. Save us because we know you're boss, you're tough, and you're cool forever, okay? My favorite part. So we can do it in fun ways. You can leave that up for a few minutes because they're still working on it. Some of it is just fun stuff that we find ways to communicate, but some of it is more difficult stuff, and we're sharing that tonight in some of the really hard stuff that we're coming into contact with. How do we minister to somebody who is so angry that they would take a gun? How do we minister to people who are understanding things in that way? How do we minister to those who are the outcasts? How do we share the gospel with those who feel like they don't have a place in the church because they've sinned like we haven't? How do we reach out? How do we share the good news in a way that they too will understand? And you can probably think of lots and lots of people who are in that place. If Pentecost is the story of the birth of the church, what does that say about the church? Who we're called to be? It's not comfortable. Did you hear the images? Violent wind, tongues of fire, and noise so loud that people wanted to close their ears. That's church. That's the Acts 2 church that's described. Going with God wherever God might lead. I don't know about you, but I want to know better. Like, God, can you give me a 5-year plan, please? But instead, it's going this moment, the next moment, and just following God wherever God leads. That's not a comfortable place to be, but that's who we're called to be as the church. Following God wherever God leads. Sometimes we think other people should be doing this, and I just want to call your attention to one more part of the story. Did you notice what they said when they're all talking in different languages? The people around say, aren't they all Galileans? And we can kind of gloss over that, you know. It's like, shouldn't they all be speaking Galilean, whatever that is? And how are we understanding them in our language? I think there's a little more in that. See, I think that's an inside dig. Because I think what those people are saying is, aren't those uneducated, normal, old, working people who don't know how to speak any language but their own? How in the world can they do what they're doing? I think they're saying, how can we, this little group, how can we as a church, how can we go out and really do the big things? Can we do the big things? And God says, here's some wind and some tongues of fire. And when you follow them, you can do amazing things. Because even simple Galileans were reaching the world in that moment because the Spirit had fallen upon them in mighty, powerful ways. Oh, Jesus just says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be able to be my witnesses. It will just flow through you. Notice that's passive. It's a passive voice in the grammar. It's not you will witness. It's just you will be my witnesses. In your ordinary everyday living, you will be my witnesses. In your talking with your neighbor, you will be my witnesses. In your shopping in the grocery store, you will be my witnesses. In your going to school and in the way you drive, you will be my witnesses. Maybe. You will be my witnesses in the way that you go about your business each and every day. And so the question I have for you today is has church gotten boring? Or is this following God thing still get you excited? Because you don't know what's around the next corner. Because that's what it's about. If it's gotten stale and gotten old and routine, then I pray for you to have a Pentecost moment and begin to feel that fire again. We've all been there where it's dry and the fire seems to have gone way down to a pilot light. But to feel it again and feel that wind once more that just calls us to be Jesus' witnesses in our everyday ordinary living. This story is a reminder that Jesus lives, that God is everywhere, in the ordinary stuff around us, in the people around us, in those moments when we just feel warm inside because we know God showed up. It's just a reminder that God is with us at all times and in all places, and is constantly calling, be my witness. Be my witness. Follow the wind wherever it leads. Let's pray together. God, that's a scary prayer to say, we'll follow. We'll go where you lead. Because we human beings, we just want things to fit. But you don't. The Spirit comes and calls in wind and fire and noise. The Spirit comes upon us and we just feel a tug or a pull or just that sense that we need to reach out to someone around us. God, tonight we pray that we might be Pentecost people, excited to go where you lead. Excited because we don't know what is around the next bend. Excited because we know we don't go alone, but that your Spirit strengthens, guides, and directs us. Thank you, God, for the gift of your Holy Spirit on that day 2,000 years ago, but right here, right now, in this place. Thank you, God. Amen.